Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with the expectancy of the blessing of the Lord as we meditate upon the Holy Scriptures. And we are again coming back to Ephesians chapter 6, where we are dealing with the warfare of the Christian. And may I again read from verses 10 down to verse 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We were dealing in our preceding lessons on the fact that we are at warfare. We are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, enduring hardness, being obedient, separated, and marked out men for God. And our power is in the Lord. We are to be strong in the Lord, not strong in what man can think he has or what man can do, but in the Lord. And then again, I would like to remind you that too often we Christians underestimate the enemy. And we have in verse 11 and verse 12. We was dealing in the past lesson with respect to the devil, and we are not ignorant of his devices. He comes along in his subtlety to despise the grace of God, to question the word of God, and to attack the person of God. And now we come to verse 12. Not only do we have the devil to contend with, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wicked spirits, rulers of darkness, demons. Remember this. And it's, I oftentimes say it's a good thing that we can't see some of our enemies. We'd be scared stiff. On the other hand, for your comfort, may I suggest the last verse of Hebrews chapter 1, where we read of the holy angels have been sent forth to minister unto us who were the heirs of salvation. There are two real kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And just as the Lord of glory with his heavenly hosts, righteous, holy, obedient, in the other we have the kingdom of darkness ruled over by the devil and his host of principalities and powers and wicked spirits. And just as God uses men for his glory in the exaltation of his Son, so Satan uses men to thwart the purpose of God, to defeat the will of God, and to bring man into subjection to sin and darkness and hell and despair. Look at this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Oh, that we might have eyes to see and to look out for these fifth columnists who come in as angels of light. Let me read your verse. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is. Reading in verse 13, where Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." I repeat it, just as God uses men and women today as channels for the display of his character, for the display of his grace and love. As God is working out a plan in the gathering out of a people for his name called the church, as God is redeeming men and women and fitting them for eternal glory, you have Satan using men and women to thwart the purpose of God, to defeat God's plan in the human race. I repeat it, we have two great armies, two great kingdoms. And my Christian friend, you belong to Christ. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Don't run away because of principalities and powers, but take unto you the whole armor of God, and having done all, stand. Don't run away, stand. Too often Christians today are running away from the battle. They're running away from the enemy instead of standing for God. When I think today of the fast moving of the enemy of our souls in this land and in the world, as we see evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, as we see men lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, being religious, but no power, no gospel. When we see ecclesiastical leaders denying the deity of our Savior and His wonderful love and grace for men and women, denying the work of Christ on the cross, denying the physical resurrection from the dead, denying His exaltation, my, how Satan is doing a work. He knows that his time is short. And the more we see this, the more we believers ought to stand for God and for His Word and for His Son. Take unto you the whole armor of God, because we have an implacable enemy, wicked spirits, rulers of this darkness. And they come with subtlety. They come with trickery. They come as ministers of righteousness. They come as preachers. You remember in Matthew chapter 7, our Lord said, "In that day many shall say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not even cast out demons in your name?" And Jesus shall say to them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You don't belong to me." Is it possible that a person can be a preacher and be full of good works, be very, very religious, and not be in the kingdom of God? Yes, yes. I read to you a moment ago from 2 Corinthians, in which the Apostle Paul says, "In that day," and I think he's talking about today, "Satan's ministers shall come as ministers of righteousness." For what purpose? That they might deceive the elect of God. They might deceive God's people. He's always come with deception. He's called the deceiver. He's called a serpent. He's also called a dragon. And God grant that we Christians may not be ignorant, but rather we might know the subtleties of Satan. We might not be ignorant of his devices as he seeks to thwart the purpose of God in the world, and he seeks to thwart God's purpose in you. Why, you remember in Matthew chapter 16, when our Savior, for the first time in his public ministry, reported to the disciples that he was going to suffer and die and be raised again from the dead, that Peter said, "This be far from thee, Lord. Get this idea out of your head." And Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God." Now, Peter was not Satan, but Satan was using Peter to thwart God's purpose in his Son. I say this was the first time in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus declared and revealed to his disciples why he came. He's going to build a church. That's his purpose. Then he relates his program, how he's going to carry out that purpose. He's going to suffer. He's going to die. He's going to be raised again. And back in Peter's mind, you could see Peter saying, "Well, Lord, I've just declared that you are the Christ, the Son of God. You can't die. You're going to reign." "No," said Jesus, "get thee behind me." You see, the very moment that the purpose of God was revealed in his Son, you had satanic, devilish opposition. When the purpose of God is revealed in your life, in my life, we're going to expect satanic opposition. Quite often when young men and women dedicate their lives to the Lord, young Christians, and they feel led by the Spirit of God to give themselves, make themselves available to God for a job to be done. Possibly right after that, they have some very, very critical, hard times, tests and trials. What is it? It is Satan seeking to thwart the purpose of God in that young man, young woman. Let me remind you that Satan never goes to sleep. Neither he nor his cohorts sleep. They don't go on vacations. They're always on the job, trying to thwart the purpose of God in Christ and in his people. Just as Jesus said in John 16, concerning the world, if the world believed me, the world would believe you. But because the world doesn't believe me and will not accept my saying, then the world will not believe you nor accept your saying. The Apostle John said the same thing in the 4th chapter of 1 John, where he talks about the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Antichrist. They won't listen to our word. Why? Because they're of the world, and the world listens to his own. So it is here. You have here Satan and his cohorts. Believe me, my friend, this is no fiction of the imagination. We have a real enemy. It was a real devil who came and tested our Savior in the wilderness. And he tested our Savior on the grace of God, the Word of God, and the person of God. You take those three temptations that was to Adam and Eve in the garden, the same three temptations to Christ in the wilderness, the opposition of the devil to God's people and to God himself. I wish in some way I could put it in words the way I feel about this. The Scripture is very clear that we are in a warfare, and my Christian friend, you can't afford not to get down before God, have your own life in fellowship with him, and then get into the Word of God, because it's through the Word you're going to resist the enemy. That our Savior said in Matthew 4, it is written, it is written. So again I say, the power, we have to be strong in the Lord. And the enemy, we've got the devil with all his wiles. We have the principalities and powers, wicked spirits, rulers of the darkness, fifth columnists that hate Christ and his people. But God hasn't left us helpless. In our next session, we're going to take up the provision that God has made for each individual believer to withstand all the wiles of the devil. I again ask you to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. And may the Spirit of God make it very precious to you today. And God make this a wonderful day for you in your fellowship with him and in your meditation upon his word for his name's sake.